In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Thursday, March 17th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. After two Presbyterian pastors from Sudan were finally released by a court in Khartoum, Morningstar News now reports a Baptist pastor has been arrested in the same city. Pastor Philemon Hassan's wife is asking for your prayers for her husband. President Obama has nominated Judge Merrick Garland to the Supreme Court. Before President Clinton appointed him to the Washington, D.C. Circuit Court, Judge Garland clerked for William J. Brennan, one of the most liberal judges in the history of the Supreme Court. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and the Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee are refusing to consider the nomination. We interviewed Christian attorney and historian John Eidsmo on the Garland appointment. Eidsmo said this appointment would add a fifth liberal judge on the bench against three conservatives.
Judge Merrick, if he were confirmed, would fit that same pattern. He himself is a Harvard graduate, so that simply perpetuates that stereotype. Not only that, the political scientist who has evaluated his career, note that he has, first of all, served a Democrat, President Carter, and then served a Democrat, President Clinton, and that his political philosophy would be squarely aligned with Justice Ginsburg and Justice Kagan on the left.
Personal integrity was the issue in the resignation of two justices from the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Christian News reports that the Attorney General, Catherine Kane, initiated the investigation after discovering a 3-year delay in the Jerry Sandusky child molestation case. This uncovered inappropriate and pornographic email exchanges among the highest judicial representatives in Pennsylvania governance. Pennsylvania Supreme Court Justice Michael Eakin just announced his voluntary resignation over his participation in the corrupt behavior. The godly has perished from the earth, and there is no one upright among mankind. Their hands are on what is evil, to do it well. The prince and the judge ask for a bribe, and the great man utters the evil desire of his soul, thus they weave it together. Micah 7. ISIS is losing ground in the Middle East. The IHS conflict monitor finds a 25% decrease in territory for the terrorist group over the last 18 months. State Department spokesman John Kirby told reporters that, quote, fighters are becoming disenfranchised and are in increasing numbers choosing to leave the group, unquote. Human technology is failing in Venezuela. A national drought has affected the hydroelectric power for the country, resulting in a week-long shutdown for businesses. The Socialist Party has blamed the drought on El Nino weather patterns. However, President Nicolas Maduro told the nation over the weekend that we're hoping, God willing, rains will come. God willing? You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. James 4, 14-15. Pakistan's Punjab district passed the Women's Protection Act last month, providing legal protection for women from domestic violence. 2 days ago, an assembly of 35 religious parties gathered to condemn the law as un-Islamic, according to Jihad Watch. They request retraction of the law, which the religious leaders see as contradiction of Quran 4:34, where husbands are commanded to beat their wives. But God's original and true word says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. China Christian Daily announces the completion of a 100,000-square-foot church building in the capital city of Guangzhou. The 10-year building project is the largest church in the city, and it has been described as a landmark for Christianity in China. The GOP is talking about a brokered convention. That's brokered, not broken, based on multiple floor ballots. The last three brokered candidates did not win the general election. Both Donald Trump and Ted Cruz are opposing a brokered convention at this point. A Morning Consult poll of Marco Rubio supporters found that 47% of them would go for Cruz as a second choice, 27% for Governor Kasich, and only 13% for Donald Trump. In his concession speech, Rubio acknowledged God 13 times and ended with 1 Chronicles 29. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. And that's the world view on this Thursday, March 17th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
And welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Steve Vaughn also in studio with me, as a couple of fathers in studio are trying to maintain a little bit of a vision for faith, family, and freedom in what used to be a free country, a country based upon biblical principles, but more and more abandoning biblical principle and moving towards pragmatism. And that's the theme of this edition of the Generations Radio Broadcast. Now, as it turns out, in the providence of God, Donald Trump is way ahead of the pack after Super Duper Tuesday this week. You know, and here's the bigger shocker is, I think, the biggest shock of the entire primary season was Ben Carson's endorsement of Donald Trump. That was a shocker. Now, here was the least obnoxious candidate in the debates. Wouldn't you agree? Ben Carson, least obnoxious candidate in the debates, supporting the most obnoxious candidate, Donald Trump. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Talk about a big dichotomy here. I was blown away by it. I for sure thought he would either go for Rubio or Cruz or Kasich or some, you know, somebody, but not Trump.
And we're going to look at the reasons to endorse Donald Trump on this edition of the program.
Did I hear you right? Reasons to?
That's right. Okay. Reasons to endorse Donald Trump. Now, we're not endorsing Donald Trump on this edition of the program, but we're going to look into the reasons why some would endorse Donald Trump according to their own testimony. So, again, we're going to walk through the reasons to endorse Donald Trump for president of the United States on this edition of the program using the testimony of those who have already endorsed him. Now, remember, Donald Trump has spoken of Planned Parenthood as being a wonderful organization. He was speaking on CNN's New Day several weeks ago. And Trump said that before thinking about defunding Planned Parenthood, he would look at the positive aspects of the organization. Quote, I would look at the good aspects of it. I would also look because I'm sure they do some things properly and good for women. I would look at that. And I would look at other aspects also. But we have to take care of women. The abortion aspect of Planned Parenthood should not be funded. So that's what they've been saying, by the way, from the beginning, is they don't use the federal funds to the tune of $500 million of your tax money for abortion. They move it over here to administration costs. You know, the kind of the shift around thing with $500 million of taxpayer money in order to continue the abortion culture year in and year out. Friends, without your tax monies, do you really think that we could maintain the abortion culture in America at the aggressive level that we have for the last 30, 40 years without the billions upon billions upon billions of taxpayers' dollars funneling into Planned Parenthood? It wouldn't happen. Trust me.
This whole thing's just a bait and switch kind of thing. You know, for those of you who don't quite get this, if you spend $500 million on administration, quote unquote, then they don't have to spend any of their money on administration and can use that $500 million to fund abortion. And so it doesn't matter that they're saying we're only funding administration. The money that they would have done, it still goes to abortion.
And when it comes to abortion, you know, we're talking about Donald Trump, he's made some pro-life statements in the past, but he always makes a lot of exceptions. He hems, he haws, as in, we'll just kill some of the Jews, those conceived in rape and incest. Now, see, I think it's important to establish more principle, but principle is not what modern politics is all about, evidently. He's also the most pro-homosexual candidate in history. He's supported Obergefell. He's not going to work to reverse the Obergefell ruling, which was one of the most tragic rulings in this country's history, which means he's going to oppose Christian liberties, and you can say goodbye to Christian colleges, especially those who take advantage of Title IX funding. He's probably, Donald Trump is probably the most pro-homosexual candidate in the history of this country, at least from the perspective of the Republican Party. He supports Obergefell. He supports homosexual marriage, which you could not say for Barack Obama running for president in 2008. So I point that out. He's more liberal on homosexuality. Donald Trump's more liberal on homosexuality and homosexual marriage than Barack Obama was in 2008. Now, I know it's 8 years later. I understand that a lot of things change, as in entire revolutions happen in just 8 years, and those who are perceived to be more conservative happen to be more liberal than liberals were 8 years ago. Be back in just a moment with more on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson.
Have you ever found yourself asking questions like, what am I supposed to do with my life? How do I know what God's will is for me? How will I find good opportunities and be successful in life? And what is success anyway? My name is Daniel Craig. I'm a homeschool graduate, and I've asked all those same questions myself. As I was transitioning into life beyond homeschooling, I didn't fully understand God's calling on my life or how to prepare for that calling. I wasn't opposed to going to college, but I knew I also needed godly mentorship and real-life application to prepare for life ahead. And that's why I helped create the Kickstart program, an in-depth training program designed to help other students launch into life now with clear vision through one-on-one mentoring relationships and real-life application. With a clear, step-by-step approach, the 29 Kickstart video training sessions and companion guide walks students through the process of first defining vision and goals for their lives, then finding and engaging with mentors in their community who can help them move toward those goals. So if you're not sure how to prepare for life, you can either spend $72,000 on a college education, or you can first spend $129 on a program which provides cutting-edge guidance through a proven process of life preparation that works. Now, if that sounds like a deal to you, I encourage you, get Kickstart today at generations.org.
And this is the Generations Radio broadcast. We're back. Kevin Swanson here. Steve Ahn also in studio with me to take a look at Donald Trump one more time and Ben Carson's endorsement. And in just a moment, the reasons why Ben Carson would back Donald Trump for president of the United States. And I think this is informative. We're going to get back to biblical principle in just a moment. But do remember that Donald Trump is a pro-homosexual candidate in the Republican Party. Now, some may take that and say, no, wait, he said this, he said that. Now, it's a little hard to track what Donald Trump says.
Yeah.
And here on February 8th, this would be a month ago, Trump underscored the problem concerning homosexual rights when he told a New Hampshire television station that from the White House, he would push equality for homosexuals even further forward. Now, that's a quote from LifeSite News, February 8th, 2016. So again, friends, it's a moving target. I know he probably has changed his position in the last 2 weeks. I just don't have an update yet. But as of about a month ago, he said, this is Donald Trump, said he would push equality for homosexuals even further forward. And he's waffled recently on whether he would appoint justices that would commit to reversing Obergefell. And please understand, my friends, that the pro-homosexual marriage position has only recently evolved for Democrats and Republicans alike. Hillary Clinton spoke against homosexual marriage for 10 years until March 2013 when she finally endorsed it, and that would have been, what, 3 months or 3 years ago?
Yes.
July 2004, she's up in the Senate stating she opposed homosexual marriage and said she believed that marriage was, quote, a sacred bond between a man and a woman. Now, remember, that's Hillary Clinton 10 or 11 years ago. Now, of course, almost every politician is a moving target. Why? Because they are postmodern relativists, and there is no basic standard, no absolute standard for ethics at all for almost everybody in politics today, because that's the zeitgeist, that's the spirit of the age, that's the worldview that motivates and drives and sets the agenda for the modern man.
And why is that? Because it's not about principle. It's not about what you believe. It's what about you that can get the vote.
All right, let's take a look at what Ben Carson said about endorsing Donald Trump. In an interview with The Hill, Ben Carson recalled the process by which he came around to support the controversial front runner who was once his rival for the GOP nomination. Here's what Carson said. Here's the quote. "I needed to know that he could listen to other people, that he could change his opinions." And by the way, he's proven that.
Lots of times.
Lots of times. "And that some of the more outlandish things that he said, he didn't really believe those things." So that's a reason to vote for Donald Trump. He changes his opinions, and he doesn't believe the things he says.
Well, the outlandish things. Now, the question is where's the line on non-outlandish to outlandish?
And here's the other thing. Does he believe every outlandish thing, or does he not believe every outlandish thing? And which outlandish things does he not believe? That's important to me, and I think it ought to be important to anybody who endorses Donald Trump for president of the United States or votes for him. Now, here's also a quote from Ben Carson in his endorsement for Donald Trump. "I have to look at what is practical and what is going to save this country. And the American dream for the next generation, is there another scenario that I would have preferred? Yes, but that scenario isn't available." And his interviewer asked him, "With one of the other candidates, you mean?" "Yeah." So, in other words, it just isn't practical. We're not going to save the country. It's not pragmatic enough to support a candidate that doesn't have a shot at winning. The point is, we have got to save the Ark of the Covenant, and Super Uzzah will fly in and save the Ark of the Covenant as it tips over in the cart. And the result, of course, was Super Uzzah died for his efforts.
That's right.
And that's a story concerning pragmatism you'll find in the Old Testament. All right, let's move on to Jerry Falwell, who also gave somewhat of an apologetic for his support for Donald Trump in an interview he did with a student newspaper at Liberty University. Falwell spoke to the student-run newspaper Liberty Champion, and this is what he said. He said he spent time on the campaign trail with Trump during the weekend of the Iowa caucus, adding that he went with his family and Trump paid for it. Well, now there's a good reason.
Yeah.
But now we're making lists of reasons to support Donald Trump. Falwell said that Trump invited his family to sit up front with him, apparently in this big jet, and gave them a tour of the big living room with his big screen TV, the master bedroom, and let his son, who's a pilot, sit in the cockpit during takeoff. Okay, now, more reasons to endorse Donald Trump for president of the United States, friends. Pay attention now. Take notes. These are crucial reasons given by some of the leading Christians leaders in the country for endorsing Donald Trump as president of the United States. Now, here, another quote from Jerry Falwell, president of Liberty University, who endorsed Donald Trump. "Then we sat there with him the whole time just across the table. He offered us food, so he brought out Wendy's cheeseburgers. He ate cheeseburgers. We ate cheeseburgers. Then he put on a concert. He found out that when I grew up in the 70s, I was an Elton John fan. So he put the concert on the big screen. He was doing it all by himself." Okay, so.
Wow, he knows how to run it by himself. He can work the remote.
Yeah, that's another reason.
That's another reason to vote for him.
More reasons to vote for
him. He's not
going to
hire somebody to run the remote for him. No. He will do it himself.
Because he knows how to handle a remote.
Yeah.
All right. He listens to Elton John. Falwell listens to Elton John, who, by the way, is one of the most famous homosexuals in the history and the development of the homosexual ethos during the 1970s, 1980s. One of the very, very first to come out of the closet. And I treat Elton John in my book Apostate. And if you want to know the history of the development of modern secularism and modern humanism and the development of homosexuality over a period of 250 years, I outline how it happened in my book Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. I highly recommend you read the history of it. Elton John playing a very important role in that in the 1970s and 1980s. Please do not minimize the role of Elton John in destroying American culture and slamming the door open for Pandora's box to where we are today with the full-fledged acceptance of homosexuality as a lifestyle. Okay, so more reasons to endorse Donald Trump, and that is photo ops with powerful, rich people who are running for president of the United States. That's the only way I can interpret what I'm reading from this article in the student-run newspaper Liberty Champion, who explained his decision, Falwell's decision to endorse the billionaire businessman. If you can sit in his plane if you can eat a cheeseburger with him and watch Elton John on a big screen TV. Reasons to endorse Donald Trump as president of the United States. Now, here's a little bit more on this. We're not voting for pastor-in-chief, says Falwell. It means sometimes we have to choose a person who has the qualities to lead and who can protect our country and bring us back to economic vitality. It may not be the person we call when we need somebody to give us spiritual counsel. Now, if you're going to vote for Nero, for example, who's going to somehow sustain the economic vitality of the empire, friends, you got to vote for a guy who's got really strong economic principles. You've got to vote for a guy who's going to retain something of the integrity and the solidarity of the nation and maintain strong military policy, good economic policy, which may be doubtful for Donald Trump. But you got to vote for the guy who's going to salvage the empire. Now, you may wind up burning a few Christians in the process, but I mean, come on. What are the issues of Christian liberty, abortion, homosexuality next to the economic vitality of an empire? Which is more important, my friends? Come on. Make the decision. Make the decision. Are you going to endorse Donald Trump to bring the country back to economic vitality and serve you a cheeseburger in his jet and watch Elton John in concert? Now, Max Lucado, who's often described as America's pastor, according to this article here that we're pulling from ChristianPost.com, Max Lucado has come forward. He's horrified by what's going on in national politics. Evidently, he's only commented on national politics three times in 30 years. Well, Max Lucado has come forward writing a blog criticizing Trump for his indecency and antics that, quote, wouldn't be acceptable even for a middle school student body election. That's Max Lucado. Evidently, he's not going to eat a cheeseburger with Donald Trump. That's what I'm getting out of this. He says, I was deeply troubled that here's a man who holds up a Bible one day and calls a lady bimbo the next. Here's a man who calls himself a Christian and yet just had the audacity to make fun of a lady's menstrual cycle. He didn't just do this on occasion, but repeatedly, unrepentantly, somebody sent me a list of 64 people he's called a loser.
Yeah, it's up to 200 now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I just looked at a recent list.
No way, you're kidding.
No. So actually, it's persons and places, actually. But
okay.
But his list has grown as to how many people he's insulted and called loser.
Well, my friends, reasons to endorse Donald Trump, president of the United States. Number one, based on everything I've gotten off the internet so far,
and
from
Phyllis
Carson,
Schlafly's
others,
endorsed him as well.
Yeah, she has.
And said that he would defeat the kingmakers. But then you have Jerry Falwell saying he's our King David.
Yeah. Well, here's the reasons to endorse Donald Trump thus far. A, cheeseburgers from Wendy's. Now, I need to say something about this. I don't particularly like Wendy's cheeseburgers. I don't know. I never have. I prefer McDonald's. So probably not going to be the reason why I'm endorsing Donald Trump. Okay, number two, second reason to endorse Donald Trump. He doesn't really believe the outlandish things he says. Again, the only trouble here is which outlandish things does he say that he doesn't believe? See, that's important to me. I got to know that. But how would you know it? How would you know what a man believes if you can't trust what he says? Okay, so again, friends, I'm struggling here. Now, here's the third reason. Pragmatic reasons. He's the last best hope for America. Vote for him. Vote for him. I have no idea what he's going to do. I don't think he fears God. But you gotta vote for him because he's the last best hope for this country. Now, Rush Limbaugh offered some comforting words in a recent broadcast, which I thought were instructive for conservatives that are not sure about this guy. Rush Limbaugh, somebody asked him, what happens if he turns out to be a total totalitarian Nazi? So what happens? What do you do? He says, well, here's the good news, is the Democrats already hate him. And if he turns out to be a total totalitarian Nazi, perhaps the Republicans and the Democrats can team up and impeach him within 3 weeks of his appointment as president. Anyway, so if that's the basis upon which you're voting for a guy for president of the United States, you're a hurting for certain. That's all I can say. So, friends, what does the Word of God have to say about this? Well, the big question is, does he fear God? And by the way, I didn't see that anywhere in any of these articles relating to recent endorsements on the part of professing Christians, leaders in this country, who endorsed Donald Trump. I did a word search for fear God. Couldn't find it.
One thing we do know is that even though he says that the Bible is his favorite book, he has no idea what his favorite verse is. He also was asked if he had ever asked for forgiveness. Do you remember that? We covered that before. And he said he can't think of anything that he would need to ask for forgiveness for.
Friends, don't waste your vote on a guy who doesn't fear God. Say, well, wait a minute. Don't we need to save the country here? Don't we? I mean, you know, Hillary Clinton, she just endorsed homosexual marriage in 2013. Friends, is that really the basis for your vote? Whoever, doesn't matter who it is the enemy of my enemy, has got to be my friend. I think that's the basis of a lot of folks' perspective when it comes to voting for president of the United States. Okay, but what does the Word of God say? Again, what does God's Word say? What's the biblical principle that ties into this? Exodus 18:21. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. So you got to ask yourself, does Donald Trump fear God? Is he an able man? Has he managed his finances well over the last couple of decades such that he would not drive this nation into bankruptcy? Is he able? That'd be a first question.
Yeah.
Some people, they don't feel Donald Trump is the most able man. But here's the most essential issue of all. Does the man fear God? 2 Samuel 23, verses 2 and 3, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that rules over man must be just, ruling in the fear of God. So that's what's most essential. I was thankful that Franklin Graham backed that up in a rally here in Denver just a couple of days ago. This is a quote from Franklin Graham on the Capitol steps in Denver a few days ago. We will fail as a nation unless we participate in electing those who we believe will honor God and fear him.
Amen.
Praise God for Franklin Graham, who's willing to say that. And it's so basic. I don't hear that very much from pulpits across this country. Certainly don't see it in the endorsements for Donald Trump. But once again, Franklin Graham comes back to the basic principle here, my friends. And hey, if you're not hearing this, you go to a church where you hear the beginning of wisdom and knowledge is the fear of God. It's not worth wasting a vote, wasting your time voting for somebody who doesn't fear God. We will fail as a nation unless we participate in electing those who we believe will honor God and fear him. He called the nation, this is Franklin Graham, called the nation today godless. Secularism permeates Washington, our states, and our local communities. We have taken God out of our society. No Ten Commandments on the schoolroom wall. No teachers leading students in the Lord's Prayer. He says the solution for Christians is to vote and run for office. We need men and women of integrity to offer themselves to public service. And he lamented the fact that oftentimes only the bad ones are candidates, meaning that only the bad ones show up on the Republican and Democrat sides of the ballot. And he says this is just horrific. The condition of the nation is at the point where there's no hope in the Republican Party, no hope in the Democratic Party. There's only hope in God, to which I said amen. Well, my friends, shall we vote for the better of two evils, Hitler or Stalin, Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton? Well, would you vote for Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump in the 2008 elections, given the fact that Donald Trump supported Hillary Clinton's candidacy in 2008? Just some questions to ask yourself. Should you vote for the better of two evils, or just go with those who you know for certain or as best as you can possibly know, that this man or this woman fears God first and foremost. The country is in really bad shape, my friends. And part of the reason for it is that Christians are not regenerate. Christians are not Bible-believing Christians whose hearts have been changed by the power of God to the point where they can say with Paul, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. We're not saying that the law of God is the primary motivating force in our lives to bring about this change. And we're not saying that we merit our salvation by keeping the laws of God. What we're saying is that if there are Christians, real Christians out there, they will want to keep the laws of God because they love God and they want to keep his commandments. And one of the commandments is this very simple commandment. He that rules over man must be just, ruling in the fear of God. That's a very essential commandment. So you walk into that voting booth and you vote for somebody who doesn't fear God. Are you really submitting to the commandments of God? Are you really loving God and keeping his commandments? If you're going with pragmatism over principle when you elect candidates to serve as president of the United States, I'll leave you with that. We're clean out of time on this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. But I'd encourage you to my new book, Freedom, which speaks to the Christian involvement in politics. That book, Freedom, is available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. Again, I'd encourage you to grab a copy of Freedom. Now, we may not regain our freedom anytime too soon because we don't have principled candidates who fear God running for president of the United States, well, very much these days. So it may take another 20, 30, 40, 60 years to bring back freedom to the Western world. But it's probably going to happen with our children and grandchildren, and that's why I wrote this book called Freedom, available at our website. Get a copy for your kids and your grandkids. Can't afford the price, just simply email me at host@kevinswanson.com and we'll do you a deal. But we want to get you copies of this book, Freedom, all available at generations.org or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.